You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Ramps on the Moon was founded in 2015 to elevate the presence of deaf and disabled people both on and off stage. They've since put on a wide range of productions and work with other organisations to make the theatre sector more accessible and inclusive. We're joined today by Director for Change, Michelle Taylor, to learn more. Hi, Michelle.
It's my pleasure for being here.
So why was Ramps on the Moon founded?
That's such a great question. And I think two main reasons, really. The first reason Ramps on the Moon was founded was that people like myself had been working as trainers and disability equality consultants and strategists for quite some time in the arts and cultural sector. And I think I speak for more than me. I think I speak for a number of us when I say that what we were seeing was individuals getting the whole notion of disability equality and understanding the social model of disability and understanding why this is important to the sector. What we weren't seeing was organizations shifting their approach. And it was really frustrating. And I was really keen to find a way to ensure that organizations were embedding this stuff and it didn't just lie with single individuals within the organization. The other key thing is a growing awareness in Sarah Holmes, who at that point was the chief executive of the New Woolsey Theatre in Ipswich, that the theatre just wasn't getting disabled young people either participating in their activities or coming through as people potentially developing a career in the arts. And she was concerned and puzzled about this and had gone to the Esme Fairbairn Foundation and got some money to do an initial project. And this proved so successful that Sarah really became the engine and the driver of Ramps on the Moon, and with generous Arts Council funding in 2015, we were born.
It's so important to embed these structures so that people who are passionate and already doing a lot of informal consultancy work while also trying to do their jobs don't experience burnout really early on in their careers.
Exactly right. And there are plenty of disabled people, deaf people, neurodivergent people who want to work in arts organisations and just do their jobs. They don't want to be the kind of informal disability consultants as well.
You're very prolific as an organisation. What are some of the standout projects that Ramps on the Moon have done so far?
I mean, aside from the stage shows, and I'll mention a couple of those in a moment, some of the projects we've worked on, we've organised a training programme for sign language interpreters to support them to develop their stage craft. There are so many great interpreters out there doing brilliant work in theatre, and we wanted to take them even further in that game and train them in stagecraft. So we've done that. We've trained some actors in audio description, which was fantastically successful. So successful that a number of them actually started a company to provide creative audio description. So to get away from that idea of a kind of fairly, dare I say, dry kind of commentary on what's going on stage, and to create audio description that is really in character, all of a piece with what's happening on stage. So we've done those two training programs. We've worked with producers, we've worked with young people, and then of course we've done productions. So each of our six founding partners have produced a big main stage show that they each marketed alongside all of their other main stage season. They then toured those productions around all the founding partners, and they've included titles like Oliver Twist, Our Country's Good, The Who's Tommy. They've been big shows and really fantastically successful with both audiences and reviewers. So that's been really exciting.
And you also have your Agents for Change programme, which helps other organisations become more inclusive and accessible. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, our Agent for Change program grew out of a recognition that it is that embedding that was really important, and of the kind of the realization and the theory, the hypothesis, that as soon as you've got a disabled person as part of the conversation, be that an informal conversation or a formal meeting, the conversation has to shift. An organization can't continue to have the same organizations if there's a disabled person kicking around the organization. So what we did was that all of our founding partners, six mid-scale mainstream theater producing venues, all of them employed a disabled person as an agent for change. And importantly, that agent for change, that individual, was not the person in the organization who took responsibility for access or inclusion or whatever you want to call it. That individual was someone who catalyzed change within those organizations. So I always said to all the agents for change that they didn't have a desk, they had a trampoline. And what I was trying to express in that was that nothing landed back with them. It wasn't a question of, oh, Ben, can you do this for us? Can you sort the sign language interpreter? It was a question of, Ben, we need to sort a sign language interpreter. We need to learn how to do this and who we should be approaching and what criteria to use when we're selecting our interpreter. Will you support us to do that? The idea being then that that resource, that skill, that experience existed within the organization and not within one individual, which was exactly what we were trying to get away from.
People may be aware of the importance of representation on stage and within acting, but we don't often hear about the importance of representation behind the scenes, or as you said, in all of the many different departments that are necessary to create art.
We were keen to make sure that we're not just talking about onstage roles, partly as a matter of social justice. Disabled people should have access to those roles, just as they should have access to all other roles. But it's also about the culture of the organisations. If you've got disabled people working in finance or working in marketing or on the tech team or in stage management or production, that is going to influence how the organisation operates. It's fundamentally, in my view, going to influence the stories that the organization tells on its stages, in its workshop spaces, in its digital communications, but it's also going to influence the stories that the organization tells itself about what kind of organization they are, and the stories that the organization tells the world about who they are. So I've been talking more recently to organisations about the fact that what Ramps on the Moon is about is supporting them to become the organisations they actually already say they are. And I think that has to be thoroughgoing. You can't just silo off bits of the activity and say that disabled people need to be important in those particular sections of the organisation. It's got to be thoroughgoing. If the whole organisation is not one in which disabled people can meaningfully work, contribute, flourish, develop, thrive, if it's not the whole organisation, then it's really very partial. It's just not thoroughgoing enough. It's just not going to be fully integrated and consistent and comprehensive.
It also leaves room for people to pick up a lot of informal knowledge and skills about other roles within the same sector that they might want to explore, which in some cases doesn't feel that possible if it's just one area there are opportunities in. Like you say, it's so important that people have flexibility to explore different roles and collaborate and understand how to collaborate meaningfully and equally.
That's so well put. That's exactly right. And it seems to me that if we disallow disabled people from being finance officers or marketing assistants or box office leads, then actually we're impoverishing our organisations. It's that simple, because we could be losing whole swathes of skills and experience and talent.
And you've mentioned a few of the ways that you establish anti-ableist cultures with other organisations. Are there any other features that stand out to you as really key in doing that?
You're talking to us at a very interesting moment in our history, really, Amelia, because we're in a bit of a transitional phase. We're transitioning into a different kind of existence. So we were generously funded by Arts Council. We've now been funded by the Esme Fairbairn Foundation, who are right there. They're at the roots of Ramps on the Moon before it was Ramps on the Moon, when they funded the new Wolsey Theatre. We've now been funded by the Esme Fairbairn Foundation for a 2-year programme of work where we're going to be working with more organisations in a different model. It will no longer be a consortium model, but starting in the next few months, working with cohorts of organisations, looking at organisational change and development with a disability equality and anti-ableism lens. So really really trying to get to the nuts and bolts, the pinch points in those organizations where barriers to disabled people's involvement slip in inadvertently. I always talk about anti-ableism in the context of a few years ago, I would have said that when it came to cultural and arts organizations, as a disabled person, I was on the outside looking in. And then we went through a phase where I would have described myself as being on the inside, but nonetheless still looking on. And that's because the organizations themselves remained unchanged. They were still essentially, if you like, able normative organizations. They were still organized and structured and maintained and run according to essentially non-disabled principles. And so anti-ableism is a way of interrogating the way that organizations are run and looking really at the deepest roots and saying, how can we spot, recognize, identify, and remove the barriers that disabled people experience when we want to participate in, contribute to work in the cultural industries?
How can people stay updated with Ramps on the Moon and learn more about your past and upcoming work?
Well, keep your eye on the Ramps on the Moon website, which is rampsonthemoon.co.uk. There's lots of news there. We're continually putting up resources. We have a season of, I think, 8 podcast episodes, and we're about to start working on a second season of podcast episodes, which is basically just an excuse for me to talk to lots of people that I want to talk to and be very nosy about their careers and their views on disability and the arts. So everything is there. We're on social media channels. There are links to those on the website. So I think the first place to go is rampsonthemoon.co.uk.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle Taylor, Director for Change of Ramps on the Moon, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Amelia. It's been a pleasure.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.